Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. We are so glad that you worship with us this morning. If this is the first time you are joining us, welcome. Please take a moment to complete the online connect card so that we can get to know you better and pray for you. For those who have joined us recently, let me share with you about the small group ministry at Koinonia, which is called Oikos. So what is Oikos? Actually, it is a New Testament Greek term, which means household or family. At Koinonia, our small group runs from September all the way to June every year. And group members are committed to grow, to share and pray for each other regularly. Currently, we have English Oikos catering for young adults, for adults and also for high school youth. And if you would like to know more about Oikos or if you are ready to join Oikos, please visit our Oikos page at our church website, english.mykc.ca, to find out more details. Church, as we enter into the last quarter of 2021, do you still remember all the New Year's resolution that you have made back in January? Do you still remember all the good habits you were planning to develop 10 months ago? At Koinonia, we always want our community to develop the habit of reading God's Word regularly. And through Entering the Veil, which is the devotional plan for our church, many at Koinonia have already completed reading through the whole New Testament for the past 2 years. And in order to allow brother and sister to get connected to God at their own pace, actually we have developed 2 new tracks. For those who want to get an overview of the entire Bible, you can start with the overview reading. And for those who decide to meditate God's Word and to pray deeply, you can check out the meditational reading. All you need to do is go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. Under the resource section, you will see the section Entering Through the Veil. Once you enter, you'll find out how to begin this important spiritual practice. For the month of November, we are starting a new series called Psychic. When we read the Bible, actually, we find out actually there are also many accidental heroes. They stumble onto the stage of God's salvation story. Some of them used to be living on the margins of the society. Some of them were even outcasts or minorities in the society. Even though these psychics have performed side by side with the so-called main characters in the Bible, like Abraham, Moses, David, or Jesus, usually we don't pay much attention to those people. Yet, at the right time, they seized the moment and brought a pleasant surprise to the story. So in the month of November, we'll retell a few psychic stories from the Bible. Come join us and explore how psychics are used by God in God's story. As we prepare to worship God and receive His Word, let me invite you to stand. In this month of Thanksgiving in October, let me give thanks to the Lord through Psalm 100 once again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Let's serve the Lord with gladness. Let's come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and we are His. We are His people, we are the sheep of His pasture. Let's enter His gate with thanksgiving and let's enter His court with praise. Let's give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, His faithfulness to all generations. Church, let's worship the Lord together.
No. You're my rock and my redeemer. You speak to the sea. You stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion. You bled as a lamb. You carry my healing in your hands. God, you walk on the waters. You speak to the sea. You stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion. You bled as a lamb. You carry my healing in your hands. Jesus, there is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the one, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence. You never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You never failed me yet.
Do it again. You made a way
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. Dear God, you're faithful. Your promises are true and unchanging, and your steadfast love endures forever. We can be confident in you because of who you are. We thank Jesus for all that he has done so that we can all have a chance to receive eternal life. Brothers and sisters, whether you're coming this morning, whether you're excited or you're weary, whether your heart is full or if it's empty, let us all come before God today, this morning, and receive his message with an open heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please be seated.
Today we wrap up our sermon series called Christian Atheists. And in this series, we're talking about three groups of people. We're talking about the Christians. Christians are the people that believe in God and their lives reflect what they believe. And some of you are in this group. The second group is called the atheists, and maybe some of you guys are here as well. You're the ones that don't believe in the existence of God, and your lives obviously then reflect what you believe as well. And if that happens to be you, we welcome you to find out more about this faith. The third group that we're talking about, and mainly we're putting most of our attention to, is the Christian atheists. Christian atheists. These are the people that they believe in God, but they live in a way as if he doesn't exist. And in other words, they believe in God, but their lifestyle says something else. And honestly, it's not like you and I try to be here. It's not like you and I want to be here. It's not like you and I are proud to be here. But we live in this tension. We want both. We want the Christian and we want the world. And honestly, I understand. We understand. And that's why we have this sermon series. It's to encourage us to move from one to the other. Move from atheist to Christian atheist and to a Christian through God and through his words. And as we begin today, I'd like to start off with a question, and this is a question that we use in one of our small group icebreakers recently, and I thought it would be quite fitting today. And the question is simply this: what would you do? What would you do if you won the lottery and became rich? Isn't that the dream that we all look for? This is a question that my mother and I used to talk about all the time when we were in car rides a little bit younger, when I was a little bit younger. What would you do if you won the lottery and became rich? What is the first thing that pops into your mind? And let me share with you some of my small group's responses. Some people said that they're going to quit their job and they're going to learn to fly a plane. They're going to achieve some of their dreams and bucket lists. They're going to make investments and take out some every year so they don't have to work anymore. Some people say they want to go to a BTS concert, and I think some of you may agree. Some of you will travel to Japan, travel to Korea. Some people say, I'm not going to travel in the world. I'm going to travel to the moon. Jeff Bezos, you know, Elon Musk, I'm going to go to the moon with them. Some people say, I'm going to buy a house. I think that was me. Buy all the instruments in the world. That was me. I'm going to buy all the instruments in the world, fill my house. Some people say, I'm going to get a nice computer, go out with friends, buy better things. Some people said, I'm going to donate to an organization, do philanthropy work, solve world hunger, solve poverty. A particular individual in our group said that they were going to crash the stock market with all the money that they have, and they're going to end civilization. And so this person is a little bit unlike the other. But anyway, what would you do? What would you do if you won the lottery and became rich? Probably your answer has to do with something in this list. Maybe it's a dream or a bucket list of yours. Maybe it's traveling to some place. Maybe it's going to entertainment, movie, concerts, you know, doing certain things like that. Shopping, buying the thing that you really want. Or maybe donating, doing something for a good cause. The second question I have for you, looking at this list, is how far are you from achieving this list? How far are you from achieving this? Maybe some of you in this group, maybe some of you are living this life already. You know, maybe not every single day because you still have a job, I think, but maybe you're pretty close. Maybe you're 50% of the way, 70% of the way. You know, you're not that far from the lottery life. And maybe the other group is you're not there at all. You're not there at all. You're working your way and you just hope that if there's only just one thing that you can achieve in this life, you know, I'm going to be so happy. And that is what we're going to talk about. Money. We don't talk about money today. And this is a topic that Jesus talks about all the time in his sermons. He repeats it over and over in different insights, different perspectives. And he taught very clearly, especially in the areas of finances and money, that we're not to be a Christian atheist. He says that we can't have both masters. You can't have both. You will either love one or hate the other. And so today we're going to talk about money. And how we're going to approach it is like this. I'm going to first address the rich group. Some of you may identify yourself as the rich group. You have more than enough. You have a lot of things, and you look at that bucket list, or you look at that lottery list, you say, most of these can already do. I have already achieved them. I'm going to address you first. And in the second part of the sermon, I'm going to address the not so rich. Those of you say, you know, I'm still trying to make ends meet. I'm still trying to work. I'm so far away. If I can just win the lottery, that would make my life. And so, first, I'm going to address the rich and then the not rich. So first, if you identify yourself as a rich, Mitch, maybe there aren't too many of you out there, but this is what the New Testament says. This is what Paul writes. He writes a letter to his student Timothy, and he says to Timothy, this is how you ought to minister to the rich. And this is what he says. As for the rich, you guys, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. Haughty in this sense means high-minded, literally means high-minded. Don't think you're better than everybody else. Don't think because you have more, that means you're better. Don't set your hope. Don't set your hope and your security on the uncertainty of riches. You might not think riches is uncertain, but Paul says it's uncertain. And the Greek word for this is unseen. Literally, it means unseen. And Paul is saying, you think it's very tangible. You think you can see it, but when you get to eternal, when you get to eternity, God doesn't see those things. You can't bring it with you. And so you ought to set your hope on God instead, who is the actual rich. And he provides you with everything that you have. You think you earned it? Paul says, God gave them to you. And so what are you to do? You are to do good work, to be rich in good works. Not to be rich in things, but be rich in good works, to be generous. That's how you ought to be good works, to be generous and to be ready to share. And yes, why do I want to do that? Why do I want to be rich in good works? And this is what he says. He says, so that you can store up for yourself treasure as a good foundation for the future. Store up for yourself treasure. Not the unseen kind, not the uncertain kind, not the kind that doesn't get noticed in eternity, but store up for yourself treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that right now you can also have abundant life. And it's interesting here because Paul here is basically almost doing a summary of what Jesus taught about money in Luke chapter 12. Every single line that we've just read is basically a summary of a section of Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 12. And it's so fascinating. And so let's go back to what Jesus says. And he brings out this point in the story. Jesus says this. He says, There was once a rich man. Produced, and the land of the rich man produced plentifully. You have extra. You have more than enough. And the rich man, you thought to yourself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. What is the best way to invest? What is the best way to store my money? And this is your problem. Money isn't your problem. Too much money is your problem. You don't know how to place your money. And the rich man says, yeah, I know. I'm going to do this. I'm going to tear down my old barn. I'm going to build bigger ones. I'm going to make bigger investments, buy bigger houses, and then I will store all my grain and my good, and I'm going to tell myself, you have ample goods laid up for myself, for yourself, in many years. Just relax, relax. Eat, drink, be merry, and relax. This is where you hope to be. You think your riches is certain, and so it gives you a long life, it gives you foundation. But God says to him, you think you're so smart? God says to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, who's going to have those? Where are they going to go? God says, who's going to have these things? And that's why God says riches is uncertain, because it can't even guarantee your tomorrow, and you can't take them away. Who's going to have these things? And Jesus says,
So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Jesus is in fact saying, don't just be rich. Don't just be rich with things. Be rich towards God. And we're going to talk about practically how we're going to do that in just a second. And then Jesus gives a summary of the statement in chapter 12, verse 15. He says, take care, watch out against all covetousness. And this word literally means having more things. Watch out against wanting to have more things, because life is not about having more things. I'm going to talk more about that in just a second. And so that was the first group. Now, if you're in the second group, if you are the not so rich, you identify yourself as the not so rich. You look at that lottery list and you say, yeah, I hope to get there. I don't think I'll ever get there. If I can get one or two, I'll be so happy. Or maybe right now you're a student, or maybe you're just beginning to work and you say, that's my goal. I'm just going to save up and work and switch jobs and get more money. That's your goal. If you identify yourself as not rich, this part two of the sermon is for you, is for me. And I want to share with you a secret tip for you to become rich. This, no matter how much you're making at this point, you're a student or working, career, doesn't matter. I will share with you a secret tip that will help you become rich. And I think this is biblical too. This is going to help you live the life that God has designed for you. And so to do that, we're going to have to do a little bit of a simple calculation first. So bear with me for a second. Say, for example, you are making the BC minimum wage at the moment, which is $15.20 the last time I checked. And if you work 40 hours per week and 52 weeks a year, your annual income works out to be $31,616. And so I know this is a simple calculation. I might be missing some, you know, things here and there, your EI, insurance, whatever, but this is the extent of my accountant, you know, ability. So bear with me for a second. And I know maybe not every one of you is making minimum wage. I think some of you may have a higher pay rate than that, or maybe have some commission or bonuses, but just for the sake of this illustration, let's bear with this. Minimum wage, this is what you're making every year. Now, if you just do a little calculator or ask somebody, you can find out what your taxes is for every single year, which works out to be $3,592. And if you just do a little quick math here, your annual income, if you make minimum wage, your annual income after tax is $28,024. Works out to be around $2,300 per month. And so here's the magic, right? If you take this number and plug it into a formula, a special formula, you're going to find that number that will make you rich. And I'm going to tell you where to find this in just a second, but I'm not going to tell you where the website is for now. This is a website, and if you plug in this number, you're going to get the secret tip to become rich. It's very simple. You just tell this formula where you live. You're living in Canada at the moment, and you put in your income, and then after-tax income, and then you tell them how many adults is in your household. And so just for the sake of simplicity, let's just say there's only one. You're financially independent. And then there's actually no children in your family. You plug everything in. This is your magic number. If you have a household income of $28,024, you are in the richest 7.9% of the entire world. You are richer than 92% of the population. In fact, your income is more than 8 times the midpoint of what the world makes. Say, for example, you work a little harder. Some of you guys, you don't make this number. Maybe you make $40,000 a year, and that works to be around $19 per hour if you're making hourly income. Guess what? You are the richest 4.1% of the entire world. You're richer than 95% of the population, and your income is 11 times more than what the world makes. And for some of us in here, your income is a little bit more than that still. You've done a couple of degrees, you've got a couple more years of experiences. And so your income is more like maybe like $50,000, which honestly, for some of us, we still say that's not rich. We still say that's not real. We are not Jeff Bezos. We're not Elon Musk. We're not rich. But look at this. You are the richest 2.6% of the entire world. Your income is 14 times more than the global median. And I know this calculation might be overly simplistic, but it's not just this website that does this kind of thing. There are other kinds of websites. There's this company called Gallup, which is a management consulting company, and they calculated that the worldwide median household income, the midpoint of the whole world income annually, is $10,000 approximately. So if you make a minimum wage in BC, you're almost three times that number. And they also did a study, and they calculated all the median household income for all the countries in the world. Out of 190-something countries, guess where Canada is ranked? Seventh. Our household median income is four times that of the world. And so that's Gallup. BCC also did a study. They reported a study on United Nations from United Nations International Labour Organization. And this is not a median, this is an average. They said the world's average salary, if you add everybody up and divide it by how many people there is, it works to be just about $18,000 a year. $18,000. If you make minimum wage in BC, you are twice that number at least. And so, regardless of what metrics you go by, I hope you're seeing, in fact, that when we are looking at Elon Musk and, you know, Jeff Bezos, and we call your rich auntie, your neighbor, you call these people rich, 95% of the world is looking at you and they're saying, you are my Jeff Bezos. You are my Elon Musk. You are the rich people that gets to travel onto the moon. And with just one simple calculation, I didn't lie to you, you became rich just like that. You are, in fact, the richest 10% or 8% or 5% in the entire world. You are richer than 7.5 billion people in the world. 7.5 billion people in the world will look at you and say, you are my Elon Musk. And so, for most of us in here, if you identify yourself as not rich, I think the stats tell you something differently. Even if you're not working right now, even if you're still in school or maybe just doing a little bit of intern here and there part-time, chances are, whatever you're studying, when you come out of it and you start finding a job, you're gonna make more than a minimum wage. You're not gonna make anything less than a minimum wage. And once you make a minimum wage, 7.5 billion people are gonna look at you and say, you're the Elon Musk of the world. You are my lottery dream. You live my lottery life. If I won a lottery, I would live what you live. You are what the majority of the world would say. If only I was rich like you. And so, this is what the Bible has to say to you. As for the rich in this present age, this is what the Bible says to you. You are the rich now. This is you. As for you, don't be haughty. Don't think you're better. Don't forget about that 95% of the world. And certainly don't set your hope on trying to get more riches to be more sure and more secure and more with more foundation. But look at God, who gives everybody everything. And what are you to do? You are to be doing good and to be rich, not in things, to be rich in good works. That's you. To be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for yourself as a good foundation for the future, so that you may take hold of that which is truly life. God is telling you, you're already rich. You're already rich, but are you rich in good works? You're already rich, but are you rich towards God? Remember that rich man story that Jesus talked about? Rich man in the barn. The rich man whose land produced plentifully and he has extra. Jesus is talking about you. It's not somebody else's story. It's not Jeff Bezos. It's not Elon Musk's story. It's your story. You are the rich man with plenty. Don't believe me, you look around your house right now. How much extra do you have? How much extra do I have? Just look at your shoe rack. Chances are you have a shoe for every single scenario in your life. You have a shoe for rainy days. You have a shoe for casual days. You have a shoe for formal days. Heck, you have a shoe for hiking, which you didn't even do for the past year. I didn't even go hiking for the past year. I have a shoe for hiking specifically. Or maybe look at your closet. How much extra do you have? Or maybe some of us will look at our bank statement. How much extra do you have that's just sitting there investing? Jesus says the rich man build a big barn and store his harvest somewhere else. How many of us have extra and we're storing it somewhere else? Jesus is talking to us. And Jesus, to that person, Jesus says, you are a fool. You are a fool. This night your soul is required of you. And the things that you have, all these extra that you have, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And Jesus says, be a different kind of rich. Be rich toward God. Don't be rich in things. Be rich towards God. Be a different kind of rich. And I know, as we get to this point, I know why it's so difficult to be rich towards God, to be in this different kind of rich. Because I feel this way too. I certainly don't feel like I'm the richest 5% of the world. And do you know why? Because we worry. We worry that we don't have enough. Our parents teach us this. That once we grow up, you need to find a job, get paid, provide for yourself, find a job that pays more. Financial security is one of the first things we learn as we grow older. Society certainly tells us this. You need a bigger house. You need a better car. You need better things. You need more savings. And some of us, frankly speaking, we have bought ourselves into our worries. You have committed yourself into things that make you financially accountable or maybe even financially miserable. And so you don't see how rich you are and you worry that you don't have enough. And you and I, we are both the same. We develop this anxiety, especially when we look at the top 5% and we don't look at the 95 after us. And that's why it's so difficult to be this different kind of rich, because we worry. And in fact, I'm not saying this just because I feel this. I'm saying this because Jesus actually knows. Jesus knows you're worried. Jesus knows you're concerned. And whenever he talks about money, people will get anxious and they have anxieties and they worry. And Jesus says, be a different kind of rich. Be rich toward God. Jesus knows you're going to get worried. And this is why, immediately after the previous story of the rich man in the barn, immediately after that, Jesus tells you this. He says to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, don't worry. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and a body is more than clothing. Life is not just about, or life is not about worrying about what to eat, what to buy, where to live. And life is not about making enough just to get by. And he gives you two analogies to make your point. And these two analogies, you can note how different they are and compared to the rich man and the barn. And he says this, look at the birds. You see a lot of these kind of birds in Richmond, all over the place. They neither sow nor reap. They don't work. They don't have a financial planner. They don't make minimum wage. They don't work 30 hours a week. They don't work. They don't even have a place to store any of their stuff. And it says, God still feeds them. Do you realize that God says it's okay to not strive for these things? God says, you don't have to keep striving for more and more and more things. God says, I'm going to feed you. Look at the birds. Of how much more value are you than the birds? If I even feed the bird, then look at you. I'm going to feed you. Which of you, by being anxious or worrying about life and working all those hours, can add a single hour to this span of life? You work 40 hours into your work. Can you even trade back 4 minutes into your life? If you're not able to even do that, why are you worrying about
the rest. And he gives you another analogy, as if that wasn't enough. He says, enough of looking at the birds. Let's look at the flowers. Look at the lilies of this world. How they grow. They don't work. They don't do anything. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, the richest king in all the Bible, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. It's not dressed like one of these. Solomon, in all his glory, is pale in comparison to the flowers. And so if God clothes the grass, which is alive today, and then the fall is done, and you pick it up and you throw it into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? How much more will he feed you, oh, you of little faith? Set your hope on God, who richly provides for us everything to enjoy. And so, don't seek what to eat and what to drink. Don't be worried for all the nations of the world, non-believers, atheists. They seek after these things. Do you know why? They don't have him. They don't have the Heavenly Father, but you have the Heavenly Father, and your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask. And so, instead of that, seek first, not through what you eat, what you drink, seek first God's kingdom. And God says, everything else, I'll richly provide for you. Seek to be a different kind of rich. Be rich in the kingdom. And Jesus says, it's the Father who is going to provide for you. Be rich in the kingdom. The Father will provide for you. And Jesus continues, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Your Father wants to give you the kingdom, wants to give you this different kind of rich. And so go provide yourself with money bags, different kind of money bag that don't grow old, with a treasure, different kind of treasure in the heavens where it does not fail, different kind of rich. God is telling you, you're already rich. You're already rich. By God's standard, you're already rich. But God says, I don't want you to just be rich or be rich in things. I want you to be a different kind of rich, to be rich in good works, be different kind of rich. And says, and God says, I'm going to take care of the rest once you do this. A different kind of rich, a better kind of rich. At this point, you're going to ask, well, why is this better? I'd rather be Jeff Bezos. I'd rather be Elon Musk. I'd rather fulfill my lottery list. I'd rather do that. Why is being different kind of rich better? Let me ask you a few questions, and I think maybe you'll get what I'm trying to get at here. Do you want to be a person that changes other people's lives? Do you want to be an influential person? Do you want to be a person that makes an impact and an imprint in other people's lives? I heard this story from a brother in a church. He shared with me this story near a fast food chain store. He was just driving in a drive-thru. And once he was exiting that drive-thru, he saw a woman, a middle-aged woman. And the woman was begging for food. And what maybe some of you guys would do, you would drive past. Maybe some of you guys, you would, like me, I would pass them a gift card, I would pass them a little bit of a change. This brother, he said, he drove this woman to Walmart and he went with this lady to buy groceries for her family of four or five. She's without her husband. And he did that twice. Do you want to make a change in other people's lives? Do you want to make a change in other people's lives? There they go, this guy, I don't even know this guy, but he came by and he brought me and he saved my life and my family and my five kids for that day. Do you want to be that kind of a person? How about this other question? Do you want to be an inspiration to other people? Do you want to be an inspiration? Do you want to inspire other people? Do you want to change the world for the better by inspiring them? There's a story in our church, I'm still amazed, and this brother and sister, they refuse to tell their name. After we did our Reaching Out campaign earlier this year, they downsized their home. You don't downsize your home in Vancouver. How difficult it is to get a home. you will only get bigger in Vancouver. But this couple, they downsized their home, and I am so inspired. And I want to just tell everybody, look at them. Do you want to be known as that person? This person inspired me to do something greater than myself. Do you want to inspire people? How about another one? Do you want to experience what God means when He says, I'm going to provide everything you have? Do you want to experience how God miraculously adds to you every single day? There's another person in this church. Again, earlier this year when we were doing Reaching Out campaign, they said, I already have 2 children that I sponsor in Compassion Canada. A lot of money for his standard, for her standard, is coming out of their pocket every single month. But after that, I felt like I needed to sponsor another child. And they did a 3rd one, and then they did a 4th one. 4 kids on their fridge. And they tell me after, I still have so much extra I don't realize. Sometimes I look at my bank and go, oh, it's cutting a little tight. And then for some reason, somebody would give me a gift, or either something would happen, or I just find to be extra, or something, an event would happen. And this person says, I'm just experiencing what God gives me. And if you don't believe that, even you just look at the church. For the Reaching Out campaign, we gave out like a month of our income and we still have extra. That's not something we imagined or we even thought would happen. God richly provides for you in every way so that you can be generous in every way. That's what He promised. Everything will be added to you. 4th question, do you want to be rewarded in heaven? Do you want to be rich in heaven? You know, I don't have stories for this. I haven't been there personally. I haven't contacted anybody in there personally, but I take what Jesus says and I take Him for His word. He says, you will be rewarded in heaven. He says, He keeps track. If you give it to a little brother, a little sister in need, whoever in needs, whatever you give them, I keep track, and you're going to be rewarded. If you are a Christian, you believe there's that. Do you want to go there rewarded? And last question. Do you want to live a life that pleases God and brings Him glory? In other words, when you see Him, do you want Him to tell you, you fool? Or do you want him to tell you, my son and my daughter, I'm so proud of you? Out of these 5 categories of questions, even if you don't answer yes to all of them, I think you'll answer yes to at least some or most of them. And this is why God wants you to be a different kind of rich. Be rich in good works, because you will help other people and you want to be known for helping people. You want to inspire people. You want to experience God's providence. You want to be rewarded in heaven. You want to glorify God. And so, even if you agree yourself as rich or not, Jesus' charge to you is the same. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. And I know this is the part that we struggle with the most. Once we get to the application to any money sermon, any to-do, this is the part we struggle with. We know we should, but it's so hard. We know we shouldn't be anxious, but it's still hard. And perhaps this is why we become a Christian atheist. Because we're half convinced, we're half motivated, we want both, we're not sure whether we should go. And so my encouragement to you today is only one thing. Out of those 5 questions, those 5 reasons, I can't let you taste it, but you will only taste it if you try it. That's something that you can only try for yourself. And so coming up, I have a few very practical things I suggest you to try. But the most important thing I suggest you to do is to do it right away. Do it today, right after this. Do it within today. Don't wait any longer, because once you wait, you're going to forget. So the first thing you need to do, see for yourself. Don't trust me. Don't trust me for my words. See for yourself. Go to this How Rich Am I website. The website link is too long, so just Google How Rich Am I. The first thing that comes up will be a website that will bring you to here. Punch in your little annual income and see for yourself how rich you are. And if you scroll down, you can see what if you gave 10% of that income, you are still the richest however many percent of the world. You can go do that.
And if you want to calculate your after-tax money, you can go to this website. This is something that my financial planner friends told me. I never do this. So you can go to EY Tax Calculators. Just Google it. See for yourself. Don't trust my word for it. See for yourself how rich you are. Second thing, go see for yourself how much things you have. Go sell those things. Go deaccumulate those things. This is a word that we did a while ago, a few years on iCost. Go look at your house and see how much stuff there is. Go clean your house. How much extra you actually have. And I know for a lot of us, this is a big project. So if not today, go set a date for cleaning. For cleaning. This is your Thanksgiving cleaning, your fall cleaning, winter cleaning. This is to clean and see how much you actually have in your house. And I trust once you start cleaning things, once you start bringing out those clothes, you're going to find bags and bags of clothes you can donate, shoes and shoes you can throw away, and a lot of things that you just have extra. And I encourage you, give it away, sell it, deaccumulate it, clean it up. Third thing, and don't wait for this one. Everybody after these sermons, if you're somewhat motivated, you'll say, okay, I'll give to somebody. But don't wait and go find an organization. Just Google and do some research. Maybe you can go look for a group that helped you in the past, and that can definitely be a church. Or maybe it doesn't even have to be a church. It can be an organization. Or it can be something that a cause that you really, really agree with. And just start giving to them. Don't wait for them to ask. Just start giving to them. Set a percentage. 5%, 10%, commit to it. And if you're already doing this consistently, my challenge to you is, can you do more? I think when you do more, you will find how much more you have. Last thing, the fourth thing. Make yourself ready to give. This is what Paul says. Be ready for good works. Be ready to give. And there's a couple ways you can go about doing this. Keep some change in your pocket. Don't spend every single thing. Don't just go cashless. I know this is a time where we prefer to go cashless, but maybe keep something in there. Or if you don't prefer to give cash, some people, a mentor has told me in the past, you can buy gift cards. You can buy food gift cards, grocery gift cards, and you just keep it in your car, keep it in your... This is something that I try to do as much as I can. And every time I run out, I go back to the store and I don't want to buy another pack, but I remind myself, I want to challenge myself to be generous. Another couple that I know, this particular fast food chain, in their coffee mugs, they have little stickers and you can collect 7 and you get a rich free one. They collect a stack of these and they give it away. They don't use it for themselves. Be prepared. They're readying themselves to give. And all of these exercises, these four exercises, really is meant to help you see how rich you are. How rich you are. How rich you are. How much things you are. And I think the more you do this, the more you will realize how good it is to be rich in good works. And so, as we wrap up, I want to conclude it with what Jesus uses to conclude. At all of his teaching of everything we looked at chapter 12 today, he uses this to end. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. One way to understand this statement is to say, Jesus is saying, are you a Christian? Are you an atheist? Or are you a Christian atheist? Show me where your treasure is, and I will show you who you are. Show me where your treasure is, and I'll show you what your heart believes. But the reverse of this is also true. Jesus is saying, he's so smart, he's saying, if you want to change that, put the treasure in, the heart is going to go after it. So if you don't want to go after the world, Jesus says, go after me, go after what I care about, the good works. If you put your treasure there, your heart is going to go there. And he's saying this is a process. This is what we've been saying all along. This is a process. Going from one stage, the Christian atheist, atheist to Christian. This is a process. And in the meantime, if you put your treasure there, you're going to be more and more like Jesus. And so Jesus says, don't work to be rich. You're already rich for most of us. You're already rich. Be rich in good works. And so go back to the story. The rich man story. Remember, we are the rich man, not everybody else. We are the rich man. We have a bunch of extra. Do you know there can be an alternate ending to your story? Do you know instead of God saying, you fool, God can say something else to you? Do you know that people can come up to your life at the end of your life and they can thank you for what you've done? And they can tell you how much you've inspired me to be different in this world? And do you know you can live your life experience God's tangible providence every single day. And more importantly, when you see God, He's not going to say, "You fool." He's going to say, "I'm so proud of you, my son and my daughter. Come enjoy the rest." So be rich, but not in things. Be rich in good works. Don't work to be rich, but be rich in good works. And you will experience the riches of God. Let me pray for you. God, I understand that every time we do a message like this about money, about possessions, there is this tension inside of our hearts. On one side, we know what we should do. On the other, we have so much worries. On the one side, we know what we ought to do. On the other, we have doubts. We don't want to move. We don't want to commit. And God, I pray for the congregation that's listening to this. When they have this tension, God, you will bless them with courage. You will give them courage to try, not to dump everything out, not to just sell everything, that's irresponsible, but to give them courage to give just one more dollar, give one more $10, give one more little percent. Give them courage to take that next little step. And God, I pray that you will have your grace poured out on us, that when we take that one little step, we can experience the riches of your grace. Amen. Church, let me now bless you with the word of God. Church, go now and take hold. Take hold of the life that really is life. Shun the eagerness for money and be rich in good works. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And may God be your refuge and fortress. May Christ Jesus free you from all that ensnares you. And may the Holy Spirit provide you with everything for godliness and contentment. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. And church, as we wrap up the service today, we encourage you to continue your worship through offering. And you can do so by going to our website, english.mykc.ca. Remember to look at what you have and do that exercise for today. Don't wait. Do the exercise today and see how rich you are. I will see you next week.